Ahoy, Vachon. How's the French say, Vachon? This is the Brown Briefly, where less is more, more or less, coming to you live over KVSH 101.9 FM, Voice of Vachon, your island connection. Please make us part of your day. And be advised that our assertions and views, which can modestly be described as progressive persuasion, do not in any way reflect the opinions of KVSH or Voice of Vachon.
Hello, this is the Brown Briefly podcast and weekly radio show coming to you live from Vachon Island, Washington, in the heart of the Salish Sea. We're broadcasting live from the Gene Bosch Voice of Vachon studio in the uptown core of bustling and bodacious Vachon town. And we sweep the airways of our beautiful and bucolic island community. That was the voice of our founder, Brian Brown. Together, we, the Brieflys, strive to keep Brian's brilliant flame alive by bringing you weekly episodes of hopefully intelligent discussion of current events, laced with humor and empathy, and always guided by Brian's mantra of less is more, more or less. So let me introduce a Brieflys panel and our guest today. So our flight control board musician.
It could be.
He's an ambidextrous guy, right?
That's
right.
Yeah. Ambi-talented.
Retired Alaska Airlines captain, Vachon Airport commissioner, and the longest-serving Brieflys, Truman O'Brien.
I'm sitting here behind the big red switch, got that baby on. We're broadcasting live right here.
Good. So our legal beagle, mediator, Fulbright scholar, and former Pinkerton goon, Craig Bellis.
Who? Oh, Craig Bellis. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's what the Pinkertons were known for many, many years. It's funny, when I got a job working for them at the San Francisco International Airport, they asked me if I wanted to carry a gun.
Oh.
And I said, I don't want a job where I have to carry a gun. Yeah. And I said, is there any training? No, we just give you a gun.
Just give you a gun. Did they give you any bullets?
They didn't give me any ammo, no.
No, that's what was the Army, you know.
So you work at ICE? Is that what I understand?
Yeah, yeah. Right, yeah.
Don't start a rumor.
That's right.
So our part-time ferry fixer, executive director of Vachon Household, and our full-time shenanigans coordinator, Amy Dreyer.
Hi, good morning.
Good to have you here. And our mariner, backpacker, rower, electric vehicle owner, indefatigable defender of democracy, and zooming in with us today, Kevin Jones.
And defending away and zooming at the same time. So great to be here with y'all.
Good to have multi-talented people on the panel. Mm-hmm. And I'm historian Bruce Hallman. Today, we're fortunate to have two guests, Gay Detzer from Drama Doc and Greta Simpson, who's the executive director of the Vachon Heritage Museum. And they're here with us today to talk about the 50th anniversary of the founding of Drama Doc. It's also the 50th anniversary of the founding of the Heritage Association. And we're opening a new exhibit next Friday, February 6th, at the museum that tells the history of Drama Doc on Vachon Island. So, but before we get into our small talk, let's check in with Brieflys and our guests and see what's been going on this week. So, Craig.
Yeah, your Pinkerton goon here. not a lot. I mean, there was, you know, lots of doctor's appointments for the certificate we need to continue to fly airplanes. But saw Hamnet. Loved it. Not exactly a movie you're going to go out and dance after you've watched
yeah.
it. But
I've heard it's a little morose, as it were.
Well, but nominated for 8 Academy Awards, and I can understand, especially the director. It's rare you have a female director who gets nominated these days.
Yeah.
So that's good. The other thing is another week with another guitar lesson with Daryl Redeker. I have to tell you, I love working with Daryl. Not only is he the consummate guitar player, but we have a really good time.
Good. He's very patient, right?
He's very, well, he has to be.
Yeah.
So that was basically my week.
Oh, good.
Good. So, Amy, how about you?
Scar, I literally caught me mid-yawn because it was 1448 this week. And as Greta knows, it is a very all on the field weekend for 1448. But for the writers, one of the things that gets disrupted is your sleep schedule, which is for me a serious blow, serious. Disruption.
So tell us, what is 1448?
It is 14 plays in 48 hours. So people come together, seven writers write a play overnight, two nights in a row, given the theme at 8 p.m., turning it in by 7, and then actors and directors and stagehands and wonderful artists produce those plays each within 24 hours twice. So it's taxing, but joyous. Super joyous.
I heard it was spectacular this year.
It was.
That's one thing I forgot to mention. I went to 1448, and it was truly great. It was funny. It was pithy, and and Amy's, you did a tremendous job. Just fabulous. We have some talent now amongst the Brieflies.
Well, since I'm not currently playing an instrument, I had to bring something to the table, right? Yeah. Right? Right? Yeah, no, I did that. And then the Seahawks game, obviously Sunday, I might have celebrated a little bit on Sunday night, and then gotten up bright and early yesterday to drive down to Olympia first thing in the morning for Housing and Homelessness Advocacy Day down at the Capitol. I was a lead for the 34th District delegation. And so super inspiring, right? Like, especially in the 34th, you've got, real change vendors, folks with you, and you've got DESC, Downtown Emergency Services, right? The Pioneer Square folks. So just a really great chance to be in community and community advocacy and, working with the folks who are, our counterparts and getting folks housed and really inspiring to see just the slew of bills addressing our housing crisis down in Olympia.
So I understand we're starting to refer to ourselves as the Fighting 34th.
That's right. Brianna Thomas, who is, man. She is such a great addition to our delegation. She is just, so fun. And they're the three folks we have down there. I mean, just like kind of the complementary talents that each one of them brings as a legislator. And definitely was down there with Brianna recording our to-be-aired Brown Briefly.
Yeah,
and
week,
she had her Seahawks week. Gear on. And, she was like, she was very much also stoked about what happened on Sunday night. So we are indeed the Fighting 34th. And it felt very much, it was great to be in community, feeling part of, the homelessness and housing advocacy community. Really, truly fighting to get folks housing justice.
Great. Yeah. Gay, how about you? How was your week?
Oh, I had a great week. I did get to see one night of 1448 and Amy's great play and Greta's great portrayal. And it's been... I'm a Suzuki violin teacher, so my students are preparing now for a recital next weekend. That's on my future. How about you, Greta?
Gay, tell us a little bit about this recital. When is it? When it's scheduled?
And who? It's just for families, really.
Who are your students?
I have a group of about 20 violin students.
Whoa.
Their age is from 5 to 15, 16.
Wow.
And they'll be performing at 1 o'clock on Sunday at the Methodist Church, where the food bank is being built.
And they're all savants.
Yeah. Oh,
they're all, right.
It's one of the joys of going to the Nutcracker every year. My grandson dances in the Nutcracker. And before the Nutcracker, your violin students are playing. And
right.
It's always a treat.
We open for the Nutcracker. We open for Take Three, and we open for the musical theater plays that get put on. So, yeah, it's been a great opportunity for them to play for the big audiences. They played in a group at that time, but this Sunday is a solo recital.
Oh, great.
How long have you been teaching violin?
Ever since I got here, 44 years ago.
Wow, and your ears are doing okay?
I was going to say,
because, you know, there's definitely some musical teaching professions, you know, yeah, some instruments like, one, you know, trumpet, ooh, violin,
accordion,
drums.
Accordion.
Right,
where
you,
yeah,
like, to be a teacher, you, oh, I, fuerte.
I love it. I'm really fortunate. It's, oh, and cool. Every student is different every week.
Yeah. And we're fortunate to have you doing,
indeed,
that. So thank you,
thank
Kay.
You.
So, Greta, how about you? How was your week?
Yeah, great. Also, 1448 filled week, so I didn't get the pleasure of acting in Amy's shows, but I got to watch them.
Yeah, what play were you in on Friday night?
On Friday night, I was in Chris Boschia's play.
Oh, that's, oh, yeah, you were?
The cabaret show, and then
yes,
on Saturday, I was in Maria Glantz's.
You got a couple hefty, you were in a couple hefty plays.
They were really fun.
They were like, both of them like took on some serious stuff.
Right. Yeah. Maria's had kind of a Black Mirror sort of game show where you die at the end situation.
Oh, God.
You know, like
that. Lovely.
I mean, the theme was You Bet Your Life.
Yeah.
So you asked a bunch of writers to write about the theme You Bet Your Life. And the theme of 1448 is, if you're tired, raise the blank stakes. Mm-hmm. So writers wrote about You Bet Your Life and raise the stakes.
Oh,
so
boy.
Saturday was, you know, it had some heft.
It was really fun. And the energy is like adult theater camp. Like everyone is just so happy to be there and so excited to be doing theater. And it's just such great energy and great community. So it was really fun.
So next year.
Yeah. Everybody come out next
year. Everybody make yeah, note your calendars for next year. Right. So Truman, how about you?
Well, I am totally bummed that I missed 1448. I saw it last year, and it was just over the top. So fantastic. And everybody is telling me that this year was even better, which is pretty darned amazing because last year was great. So the reason I missed it, though, is because I had tickets to go see Judy Collins and
nice,
went to Jazz Alley. And when we go to Jazz Alley, it's, you know, you stay kind of late, you drink a little wine, and you don't want to drive home. So we end up staying at the Westin, which is always fun because you can walk across the little sky bridge and you about half a block and you're in the venue, and then come back and spend the night and have a little breakfast in the morning and head home. So anyway, I missed 1448 and I'm bummed. But anyway, that was my week. Oh, and I did I did get to try out my post hole digger a little more. So there you go.
That's not your post hole digger.
Oh, I'm sorry. My wife's post hole digger. I forgot. Yeah.
You mean she let you use it?
Yeah, yeah, she did. She did. You haven't heard, but I gave my wife a post hole digger for Christmas.
Wow.
Attachment,
oh, sweet.
Attachment for my tractor. Yeah, so, yeah.
A thoughtful gift.
Indeed, indeed.
Kevin, how about you?
And Truman, I'm glad to hear you're spreading post-hole digger envy across the island. So let's see. I've been spending a little time on the water, actually, particularly on Saturday, which was unbelievable because it was one of those really calm winter mornings where the sun was just starting to come up, you know, over Puget Sound. And we're all floating around down by the Manzanita buoy with the sun coming up, Mount Rainier on the horizon. And it's cold enough. It was about 34, 35. Actually, when I got back to the car, my car claimed it was 29 degrees.
Ooh.
You get the mist coming off the water, you know, because the water keeps the air temperature down. So you get that little bit of foggy context and quiet. Spectacular. But also this week, there's been some not so peaceful things going on. You know, the ongoing government actions in Minnesota have brought people out again and again and again to the four-way stop in town. So we've been pretty active with Indivisible Vashon and others doing that. And I do want to report that Sharon Nelson, what I should say is former Washington State Senate Majority Leader Sharon Nelson, has agreed to come back to talk with Indivisible Vashon at our next membership meeting. It's really an open meeting on February 11th, 7 p.m. at the Vashon United Methodist Church. So Sharon talked to us almost a year ago. And so on February 11th, we have a chance to hear her perspective about what's happened over the course of the year and sort of what she sees going forward. So hopefully people can join that open, indivisible Vashon meeting at the Methodist Church.
Great.
Kevin, real quickly, you know, many of us who are involved in Indivisible, this is sort of a PSA, get asked, I want to do something. I want to do something. How do you get on the Vashon Indivisible Vashon newsletter?
Great question. Go to indivisiblevashon.org, and right below the photo of the ferry boat is a Join Indivisible Vashon. If you want to find out what we're about, click on the About Us page. Each of our teams is there, and there's going to be I happen to know there's going to be a commentary in the Beachcomber next week that will also describe what we do. Because you see the drum corps out on the corner at the four-way stop. You can see the Beachcomber is so awesome to be making sure to cover that local news. But that's what you see. What you don't see is what happens behind the scenes. So the commentary is going to go into that. But yeah, indivisiblevashon.org to basically join up and get the newsletter and kind of see what you can do to get involved.
Excellent. And I did want to add, just Kevin, really supporting your work and echoing your work. I had a chance just to talk briefly with Rep. Thomas yesterday after the briefly. And, you know, she said that she's had some great visits from folks from Vashon down to the Capitol, and that there are a lot of folks in, you know, our immigrant communities here in Vashon who are feeling supported. And of course, that's never, it's never a comment that makes you rest or, you know, or anything like that. But I think it is a great testament to the work that Indivisible has been done. And I think a call to make that work even louder, right? To have even more folks come out even louder and more clear about how supportive, you know, we are, and that we are one island here, and you know, that we are an island all together, and one of us is all of us. So really thank you for that work, and folks, keep getting out there, because it's critical.
Well, and just to give people some perspective, you know, we strive to support our communities. Some are more vulnerable than others. And we strive for a inclusive, equitable government for the people and by the people, which sounds a little bit trite, but it means that we elect the right people to do the right things, and we communicate to them what we think the right things are. So if any of those things sound interesting, you know, stop by the meeting, jump on the website. Love to hear from you. So thanks for that, and appreciate the time to kind of convey some of what consumes most of my days these days.
Well, we fought a revolution over that, and we're perhaps in the middle of another revolution right now. So it's important things to focus on. So thank you for all you do, Kevin. You know, you were talking about the sort of mist that rises on cold mornings. The term for that is sea smoke. It's kind of a very elegiac term, and I had the opportunity to watch an incredibly elegiac film called Train Dreams. And if you've not had a chance to see it, it's set in the Pacific Northwest. It's a very simple film of just about a man's life, a tragic life. But man, it is just spectacular, and the filming, you know, cinematography. I mean, it's just a gorgeous film. So highly recommend it. And of course, the Seahawks on Sunday.
Yes.
You know, on one level you feel sorry for the Rams, and on another level it's sort of like, man, they deserve it. So, but
well, Bruce, I know that you called this early, and people were like, really? Hey, historians can predict the future, isn't that?
History does not repeat, but it echoes. Is that what I've heard?
It rhymes. History rhymes. It certainly does. And so feels like 2013 all over again. And it'll give us a chance to revenge 2014.
That's right.
So we'll hope anyway.
Is that the year they threw that stupid pass?
Yeah, they got the best running back in the NFL, and they decided to throw a pass, and it gets intercepted on the goal line. So like, oh well. Live in the future, not the past. Right? So Let's check and see what things we can inspire us from history. Just a few quick things. Today, of course, is January 27th. In 1302, Dante was exiled from Florence. So no matter how good an artist you are, there's always a political dimension to
That's
it.
Right.
Mozart was born in 1756 in Salzburg. 1888, the National Geographic Society was formed. Now, that's sort of been an amazing organization. And in 1945, Soviet troops liberated Auschwitz.
Something to throw in, though.
Yeah, 45 Soviet troops liberate Auschwitz and Birkenau. And today is International Holocaust Remembrance Day as a result of that.
Yeah. So two more things about Russia. Vladimir Lenin was put in the mausoleum in 1924. Mm-hmm. I think he's still there, isn't he?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Well preserved.
Well preserved. Isn't that amazing? I mean, it looks like a wax,
yeah, right.
a wax model. And also in 1944, the siege of Leningrad was lifted. Mm-hmm. 880 days. Over 2 million Russians perished in that. Yeah. So that was today. So I thought those were kind of interesting.
Yeah. It's interesting. I've had the opportunity to see the mausoleum of Mao and of in Vietnam. Gosh, what's his name?
Oh, yeah, here we are.
It was a thing at the time to put your great leaders in mausoleums and wax up their bodies. And of course, Jeremy Bentham is available to see at the University of London. Anytime you go, you can roll him out, and he's sitting there embalmed in this case. So it's sort of this weird world we live in, if you will.
Oh, boy.
So in 1951, it was the first of 126 nuclear tests conducted at the Nevada test site. I mean, you hear about that first atomic bomb test, but they did 126.
Wow.
And, of course, then you get the downwinders and all that sort of stuff resulting from that.
Yeah.
Bruce, 1973, Bruce, the Paris Peace Accords.
Is it still glowing?
Yeah.
It's still glowing.
Is it still glowing?
I believe so.
There's sort of a little bit of a halo effect. Okay, just
in an affected area, what is it, 61?
51.
Right. Keep those numbers straight.
It could be 61. By the way, it's Ho Chi Minh.
Ho Chi Minh, right. Thank you.
Ho Chi Minh City, you know. Come on.
And then just to give us a little perspective, 2010, the iPad was unveiled.
Whoa.
Wow. Yeah.
There's one other historic event. Some of these historic events are not the most fun, to say the least, and another one that's not so fun occurred in 2026, today.
Yeah.
The USA exits the Paris Climate Accords.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. So one quick question for you, Craig. Was it 2010 that you first invested in Apple?
I invested in Apple the year it went public.
Oh, boy.
Wow. Yeah. And never sold.
Wow.
Yeah, all the naysayers. Oh, you got to sell Apple. Apple will never be around. Apple's screwing up. Apple's going down. I go, I don't think so.
Yeah, it'll be like the airline captain that had a chance to invest in a little Japanese company. He said, I'm not going to invest in that Japanese company. What do you think? Of course, it was Sony. Mm-hmm. He blew it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Hindsight is 20/20.
Indeed.
Yes, always is, yeah. So, more significantly, of course, today is Chocolate Cake Day.
All right.
Yes.
So what more can you want? And it's 18 days to Valentine's Day.
All
so
right.
trying to get your act together here.
Here you go.
So enough of history. Let's.
Boy, what's going to top the post hole digger, though? That's all I want to say.
Yeah. Nothing.
A colonoscopy.
Oh, that was good.
Oh, wait.
There you go.
Oh, thank you. So enough of history and sort of briefly shenanigans here. Let's move on and talk to Gay and Greta about DramaDoc. And Gay, maybe you can start and tell us a little bit about how DramaDoc got started 50 years ago. And then we'll come back and talk to Greta some about this new museum exhibit and the museum being founded 50 years ago. So, Gay, tell us a little bit about Drama Doc.
Well, in 1976, Tish Lopez and Laurel Watt wanted to put on a show, and they gathered some friends together and started really small, and they put on Plaza Suite, the first show. They had to finance it, and the next few years they financed by just asking their friends and family and businesses for very small donations of money, and it kept growing, and people, more and more people got involved in plays. They have always, right from the beginning, they were always trying to be better, have stronger artistic power, or stronger artistic goals, so that soon they invited a professor from Cornish, Lou Hetler, to come and direct the plays. He was the first paid participant. He earned all of $200 or something, but he was really helpful in helping learning people learning how to be better actors, how to put on a better show, and so more and more excitement grew. And let's see what they put. Their first big musical was I think was Oliver in 1981. They later did Fiddler on the Roof. They did a lot of straight plays and comedies. And they're, let's see, they, after a while, from about 81 on, they did one or two shows, musical shows a year, and those are the big ones.
You know what? I think I have to take you to task here, because I saw Fiddler on the Roof, and I lived here from 75 to 78, and I think it was maybe 76 or 77 or 78 that Dr. Cook was in it. And my good friend Rex Hilderman was in it. But I got to see Fiddler on the Roof that you folks did. It was fabulous.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
On my thing, it says 1982.
No, I think it was before that.
But really there was the...
Maybe I came back out for it. That's possible.
It.
That's possible. That's possible.
You know, maybe your memory's going on.
No, that's possible, too. But, no, but I saw that. It was a great play. They did a really terrific job.
Yeah, I think people got so excited. It was building a tremendous community. So they did more and more shows, the big shows, with Guys and Dolls and... Quilters, Fiddler on the Roof. They did, I shouldn't say they, I should say Weeks, but I wasn't around at this. But King and I was the biggest. And I guess, King and I, Oliver, they had a cast of 50 people. And the wonderful thing was to have multi-generation, have so many kids and families involved. And so they went on, Minty Manley Little wrote June's Son, which was about the relocation of the Japanese people from the island, a beautiful play that was produced actually twice. Every year, trying to make theater better and better, Elizabeth Ripley came in and brought a tremendous, her knowledge of theater and beautiful costumes, and to got lots of kids involved. She started the youth theater initiative so that the high schoolers were putting on shows. They did big shows, Cats, Into the Woods. They fantastic development for the teens. She also was working with adults. I got to be in The Importance of Being Earnest when she didn't direct that, but she was producing it. I got to be Lady Bracknell, who's in a handbag. It was the famous line. But she made, I loved Elizabeth because she made sure everybody looked fantastic. We had most elegant costumes ever. And then later, as time went on, Lisa Peretti helped us COVID came. Yeah. Oh, I forgot about Libby Anthony. Earlier, Lisa Breen was our president of the board, and she got everybody excited about more family musicals. And so Libby Anthony was the one who could manage, she, with the help of her wonderful stage managers, could manage the big casts and the logistics involved in putting on these big family musicals like Annie, Sound of Music, Oliver again, Wizard of Oz. So all these years, the momentum built, and I think expertise grew, and people were getting more excited about making things better always. And so more technical people got involved with the lighting. And as the high school, I remember once building a stage on the high school, for the high school, because we did a lot of Gilbert and Sullivan with an orchestra. So we had the orchestra in front, and then the stage lifted the cast above. But the big moment for us was to do Chicago, directed by Susan Hansen, in the new VCA theater, the K, White Theater. And that was our first production then. Up until then, the musicals and many of the plays would go for 3 weekends. There wasn't all that much competition for entertainment on Vashon.
That's true.
So Drama Doc really was a big focus for a lot of people and coming with families. And so 3 weekends was a lot. But when the K was built, we got cut down to 1 weekend. But it was good because it's a wonderful theater, and that filled it up. Chicago sold out all the performances that 1 weekend. We went on with more plays at the Vashon Center for the Arts and at the high school. And we did a play, Becky's New Car, that was commissioned by an Islander, Stephen Dietz. And that was in open space. So we used open space in these three different venues put on all our shows. Then along came COVID, and boy, Drama Doc almost hit the skids. It was not clear that we were going to survive. But Lisa Peretti stepped up and said she would be our artistic director. And had been working so hard to produce the play she had written, Winghaven Park. Yeah. And it's a beautiful musical, which she continues to work on and develop, and with the hope that it will become part of the roster of plays that people produce. So it's still we performed it here, but it's now in development in New York and London, and it's very exciting. And she helped get us through, come out of the COVID. We did art, and then what did the Inspector Calls, See How They Run, Buddy. And she also worked with the Vashon Center for the Arts with the musical theater program that Marita Erickson started there. So that's been a great partnership with the youth theater that continues with Drama Doc and the musical theater at Vashon Center for the Arts. So that takes us almost up to the present, where our newest, last summer we did Sister Act, and we have a new artistic director now, Kelly Goodell, and she's bringing a whole new excitement and energy to Drama Doc. We're going to be doing a play in May called Anthropology, and I know you'll all want to see it. It's about artificial intelligence, but it's a beautiful drama about the connection between people, and this woman loses her sister, and so she creates a computer simulation, and it's a fascinating play. So I urge you all to come see it. Yeah. And Kelly is actually starring in that, because she's not only a fabulous director, she's a great actress. And then in the summer, Rent is coming up. Fun things on the horizon. And we have a big gala. That's right. The gala on March 21st. I hope everybody can come. It's the 50th anniversary, 50th year gala. And there'll be lots of entertainment, scenes from shows and songs. So that's happening at the Vashon Center for the Arts on March 21st.
So that's exciting and interesting sort of background on Drama Doc. How about you, Gay? Tell us a little bit about yourself and your story and your journey. How did you get to Vashon, and what have you been doing for the last 46 years or so on Vashon?
I had been a Suzuki teacher in Seattle, but my husband had been keeping bees on Vashon. He's a beekeeper. That was his hobby. So when we realized we wanted to move out of the city with our kids, He said, well, Vashon's the place to go because he already had bees here and he'd been keeping them at a friend's house. So we came here. Our kids all went, our four kids went to school here. And then I had another kid born on Vashon, a real Vashon native. And they all grew up here and I've been teaching the whole time. I built up my studio and I got originally involved in Drama Doc when my oldest child, my daughter, was cast in a play, You Can't Take It With You. Mm. And then she was in, there was a collaboration with Tish Lopez, Sue Wiley, and others. They collaborated with the high school and did an incredible performance of West Side Story.
Wow.
And that was, she was Maria in West Side, my daughter was Maria in West Side Story. And that, I still remember just how exciting that was. Jamie Lopez, Tish's son was in it, and the leader of the Jets, and then his sister Anita. It was just a fabulous cast with Marianne Jewell on the playing this incredibly difficult piano part. I don't know how she did it, but so that's. And then I started with Cabaret at the Blue Heron. They needed the beautiful orchestra that comes. They use for Cabaret, and so I played violin for that. And then from then on, I just did a little bit more here and a little bit more there, helping with the building sets. Then I produced, and I was conducting the orchestra as for Gilbert and Sullivan. We had orchestras. And then finally, I got actually a part on stage. I was Aunt Ethel, I think, in Harvey. You know, 2 minutes on stage, but I was hooked. I think that's the exciting thing about Drama Doc is you can... There are a lot of people, I know Rich Wiley says he was a boring Boeing engineer that got tapped to play in a get start. And he's since then, he's been in, what did he say, more than 35 plays
wow.
over the years.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And he's fantastic. He was the king in The King and I,
wow.
which was a huge production, beautiful costumes, amazing set. So that's... You know, gradually I got to do more and more, and so I've loved it. Now I'm on the board, and
that's great.
Been on the board for 80, 90 years or something.
Yeah. So, Greta, that's an exciting 50 years of Drama Doc. Tell us about the last 50 years of the Heritage Museum.
Oh, well, you would be better to speak about this than me, Bruce. But yeah, we're celebrating our 50-year anniversary this year as well. And it's really interesting because, of course, this is the semi-quincentennial of the United States. And so we are celebrating our anniversary along with a ton of other historical organizations because...
Wait. Semi-quincentennial.
Yes.
I don't want that to
go 250
unnoticed.
Years.
I'm,
okay.
I'm impressed.
Say that three times.
Right,
real
exactly.
Quick.
Yeah. It's a big deal in museum circles, so I'm saying it all the time, really getting the practice in. But at the, 200 years, 50 years ago, was huge. There was a lot of excitement about the 200th anniversary of the nation, and so a lot of... organizations were formed. And so we're in good company, actually. I just went this yesterday to the Association of King County Historical Organizations yearly meeting. And everybody was 50 years for you, 50 years for us. So it's kind of a great great anniversary for so many local history organizations. And it's pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Greta, same question that I had for Gail. Tell us about yourself and your journey to get to Vashon Island. What got you here? And tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I think I've, said before. my husband got a job as director of camping at Camp Sealth. And so we moved here. And then it was just this incredible kismet. I was working remotely for the Computer History Museum, and the job at the Heritage Museum opened up, and the rest is history.
Yeah. So to speak.
Oh. You're not permitted to tell dad jokes.
No.
It was actually one of those magical moments. Our executive director had decided to retire, and we were looking for a new executive director. And Greta told me that the week they moved on to Vashon was the week that the ad for the new executive director at the Heritage Museum showed up. And so I think there's a bit of kismet involved in that.
Absolutely. It's been very joyous and very busy and fun ever since. And I got to waltz in right at the opening of the exquisite new museum that Bruce and you all worked so hard on. And it's been just, it still remains so beautiful and so impressive. And it's such an honor to be there. And now it's been fun working on these special exhibits that we have going on.
Truman. You know, I just had to comment on Drama Doc, one thing. You were talking about productions and how fantastic all of the actresses were. We got to see Annie, and Anna Rose Warren had a small part in the play. And I don't know if it was opening night or very early on, the lead who played Annie became ill. And the day of the play, she became ill, and they were in a panic saying, what can we do? What can we do? Anna Rose stepped up and did the whole play. Mm. She knew it by heart, I was absolutely blown away. She did a beautiful job, but that really speaks well of the whole process of Drama Doc and who's involved and how it works.
And Megan Hackett, who's the one who got sick, who was the first Annie, is still had gone on to a career in theater and working in Los Angeles. There are several young people who started. Max Lopezinski is in Seattle as a theater performer, and
Adam Doolin is another one.
He directed it. Adam was the Red Ranger.
Yeah,
he was the boy in the Red Ranger.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say one of the cool things with the new exhibit that's going to be opening on February 6th is that I think kind of the central thesis that you all have put forward is that Drama Doc has been such an integral part of this community for the last 50 years that it's touched almost everyone's lives. Yeah. Everybody has been to a show, worked on a show, and just you keep, as you're saying now, you know, there's hardly a person you can think of who hasn't been roped in some way.
Roped in, yeah.
yeah. They talk to the husbands and the wives. And they're like, okay. They're learning how to, my husband has learned how to draw the boundaries a little stronger. But Marnie Wingett is the other person I was thinking of who's gone on to more theater. And there's quite a few. It's wonderful to see these kids grow up.
You bet.
Absolutely. And I kind of wanted to follow up on that a little bit with, you know, kind of the position of Drama Doc as community theater, right? I remember growing up and going to Drama Doc, and it was really cool because, you know, you would see folks you knew, and, you know, it's just sort of been a litany of folks we know from all of, mostly a lot of times, the other things they're doing on the island. And for me, it was great because it was kind of this thing of like, oh, art isn't something you grow out of, you know, that there is a place, that there can be a place in the community to make art, even though that isn't your profession. And that's, I think, you know, hugely critical and hugely important. And one of the things that's so wonderful about Vashon, right, is that art is something that is buy-in for everyone. And I've got a little quote here from Kelly Goodell, the current artistic director. Theater is many things, messy, meaningful, occasionally miraculous, but at Drama Doc, it's also deeply communal. The work doesn't live only on stage, it lives in the rooms we gather in, the stories we choose to tell, and the moments we share along the way. And Gay, you know, you kind of were talking a little bit about this progression of, you know, kind of the increasing professionalization of Drama Doc, which is fantastic because it, you know, so elevates the experience that we get to have. But can you kind of talk about, and especially as a board member, that balance between, you know, your local doctor gets to show up and be on stage mm-hmm. versus professionalization and paid parts and that kind of thing?
Yeah, it's a tricky line to walk. It's been the subject of much discussion is how do we keep the community feeling that we've grown up with, but also how do we keep the audiences? And as people are getting more, I think as an audience, they watch so much on TV now, you know, online. There's so much, and they have such easy access to Seattle. And now there's so many other events happening on Vashon. There are other other theater companies. There's so much on offer for the theater goer. So you want to make sure you have the highest production values possible. But I have to tell you a couple of stories about messy, that theater is messy. Like the one story that we were thinking of is when You're in Town was being shown at the high school, the power went out like 10 minutes from the end of the show. And what people, so there we were, everybody stopped and like, oh my goodness, what do we do now? And it turns out that they all had flashlights because they use them in You're in Town. So they set everyone on the floor in front of the stage and shone the flashlights on the actors as they finish the performance.
Fabulous.
So cool.
The people always find a way.
Yeah, the show must go on.
The show must go on. And so there were, the messiness is, you know, the dropped lines or the moments of silence when you're going, oh gosh, what do we do next? And the best story of all, I guess, is when somebody wandered onto the stage for Gaslight. This was early on, but there was a group from the care center that was in the audience. And one lady wandered onto the stage, said, now, where's the bathroom?
Oh, my gosh.
So everybody stopped. They waited. They helped her get to the restroom. And then they went on with the play. So these are silly moments. But
yeah, but what makes it memorable.
That's what makes it happen. Yeah. Absolutely. So Greta, you mentioned a little bit about the exhibit about Drama Doc. Tell us a bit more about that. What can we expect to see?
Oh, yeah. Well, first, I should say the committee Gay is on the committee. Sue Wiley, Pam
McMahon,
Susan Schreier, Patricia
Kelly.
Patricia Kelly. Yeah.
Sylvia Soholt.
Right. So several. And they've been working so hard over the last year and a half.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It really takes a long time to put these together between they've done some oral histories. They've pulled some really interesting interviews together with various people involved. So we have big TV mounted where you can put on headphones and listen to those. All the posters from plays past, you know, you'll have a timeline of experience and a way to add your own name too. We have a little wall where you'll be able to, you know, sign your name and write your experience as well. So they've done a really amazing job and have along the way just, you know, it's been so amazing to see how many people are involved and how they're just trying to show what an incredible community art it is. So you'll see in the exhibit, it has been designed by Jenna Riggs. So she's done the exhibit design. She's made an amazing timeline of the plays. It's gonna be really cool. And on Friday when it opens between 5 and 8, we'll have sort of the grand opening on that first Friday. Everybody should come out. They're putting together a delicious spread of snacks, and you can even expect a little performance at 6:30.
A little drama.
Exactly.
A teaser.
Yeah. And we do these community group exhibits. If you're interested in ever, any of you listening or any of you here in this room have something you wish we had done an exhibit on, I don't know, Radio on Vashon, for example, it has been suggested. We typically plan pretty far out. We're going to be choosing our exhibits for 2028 this in February. But you may think that seems really far out, but it really does take that long to bring it all together. So if, you know, all of you out there have ideas or things you'd like to see in the museum, please, please email. We'd love to get you on the calendar.
So I'm really curious. You know, your permanent exhibit is still up, right? I mean, for the history of Vashon. Where exactly in the museum is the Drama Doc exhibit?
Yeah, it's the back probably quarter of the
museum. Oh, okay.
I
was curious about
that.
Has
some changing. You may have seen the Gibb Damon political
memorabilia. Yes, I was wondering about that.
Yeah, it's where that was.
Oh, okay,
and,
perfect.
And we had, you know, we just took down an island revered about the Sherman family and the Schwabach and their life ways. So, and we had hidden treasures from the collection.
Right,
so
right.
We have some cool stuff.
All right,
coming
cool.
up. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, hey, Kevin.
Yeah, both Greta and Gay. So, you know, Vashon, of course, is such an interesting place. The There's times when, you know, groups are so siloed. It's sort of like I think of the Hermitage faction of Vashon. You know, some people just want to disappear into the island here and don't really cross paths. And other times we see groups coming together, really collaborating. So in terms of, you know, Drama Doc and the museum, what has it meant to your organizations to like be working in this collaborative effort? Is that like a new thing for you? What did you learn, and what might you tell us about how that went?
I'll let you go first.
What's been incredible opportunity for our committee to look back on 50 years of Drama Doc posters and programs and props and collaborating with Greta has been a treat. She's been so helpful and so many good ideas, so supportive. I highly recommend it. I think it's a really good, if another group like the radio wants to work with the museum, they really know what they're doing. They're very organized and gave us a really good timeline to follow, and they're very supportive all the way through. So in that sense, yeah, we also want to collaborate more with the high school. We did a show last year with Drama Doc and the high school put on As You Like It, and that collaboration was tricky, very tricky, but it worked out really well. And I had the amazing experience 2 days ago going into the bakery, and the woman who's giving me my cookies said, were you in As You Like It? And I said, yeah. And she said, so was I. And so we were like, we were ready to hug each other. And that kind of collaboration is, you know, always rewarding, you know, never ending.
Yeah. Well, the museum collaborates a lot with, like, you name it. We've done something. But I think it's always good to do more. And I think, you know, the museum's showcasing your history, Vashon's history, but not everyone, life is busy, has the, you know, opportunity to come in. They forget about it. But I think one of the cool things in partnering with other organizations is it might finally be that little bell of, oh yeah, I've been meaning to get in there. And now, like, I've been involved with Drama Doc and I've been meaning to go to the museum. I think I'll finally do it. I'm finally going to do it.
Yeah.
So I think that's obviously a huge benefit to us. Plus, personally, I get to learn so much that I didn't know about other of these cool things.
Well, once you go to the museum and you see how fabulous it is, it's like, oh, they're going to be doing that. Oh gosh, I have to get in to see that. You know, I mean, it's kind of like that. I don't know, breaking that barrier of walking in the door the first time.
Oh, so. Did you tell about the video that we're also having a video that's going to run of clips from shows,
oh my God.
Short clips from shows through the decades, and wow, some interviews with people. So that's also on tap.
Yeah, Kevin.
Just a quick follow-up. Yeah, quick follow-up. So you've been working together to bring all this into existence. Are people from both Drama Doc and the museum going to be curating at the museum? Can some people expect to see folks from both organizations when they walk in the door?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. We'll all be there. Everybody will be there at the opening.
Well, at the opening.
Yeah.
We won't have, I don't think we'll have Drama Doc people stationed there throughout the six months. 6 months, after all.
Yeah. Well, that was a question I had. It's going to run for 6 months.
Six months.
Good, yeah. Good.
You know, we've talked about the last 50 years in both of your organizations, and I think we've got about 6 minutes left or so in the show. Greta and Gay, can you tell us a little bit about the next 50 years? What do you wish for? What do you hope for in terms of the museum and Drama Doc? Greta.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think that to keep it fresh and to keep it relevant and to keep telling and collecting the stories that we have. There are always more stories, always new perspectives, and you cannot, there's such a wealth of stories that we're never going to run out. So I think just to continue in that vein and make everyone, you know, feel heard and continued to really be a resource for the community. That's what we want to do.
And Drama Doc wants to keep, I love the quote from Kelly that you read, Amy, that about it's messy, it's meaningful, it's miraculous, and that's what theater is, and it's communal. It's bringing people together, and more it's we're hoping to build our audiences, so we have, bring in, try and get more and more professional, but keeping the community element foremost. It's, as I say, it's a tricky balance, but we want to make sure that everybody gets a chance to participate in some way. And our, as I say, our next production coming up are Anthropology in May and Rent in August. And after that, it's Kelly's, I'm sure, got a lot of things on that she's considering for our for Drama Doc.
I got to say, I think everybody here agrees that we are extraordinarily lucky to have the two organizations of the museum and Drama Doc and you two working there. So thank you. Thank you very, very much. Truly Island Treasures.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So we only have a few minutes left. So, Gay, you mentioned what you've got coming up in terms of productions. Tell us a little bit about the gala, and if people are interested in the gala, how do they sign up? How do they give their money to Drama Doc? How do we keep this going?
Well, thank you. Yeah, I mean, go online to our website. You can buy tickets to the gala, and we're there's a core group of about 15 people that are going to do a. There's a quite a few songs and scenes that will be shown. I think there's a scene coming from 33 Variations, which was one of my favorite plays. Fascinating look at music and the relationship with the author. The main character of 33 Variations had cancer, facing her cancer. Anyway, that's one of the scenes that will be on the at the gala, and many more. Go to the website.
One quick question. Drama Doc, where did the name originate?
D-O-C-K. Mm-hmm. Drama Doc. I don't know the answer to that question.
Oh, all right. That's awesome.
Come to the exhibit.
Yeah. Okay. So go to the website, dramadoc.org.
Yes.
Come to the exhibit. And Greta, you said it's this coming first Friday?
It'll be, yeah, this coming first Friday, February 1st Friday from 5 to 8, 5 to 8. We will be open.
February 6th. Oh, first Friday.
Yes, first Friday. February,
I was going to say
6th, I believe February, that is. Yeah.
February 6th, first Friday.
Yes.
Okay. So, Greta, tell us about the museum has a gala coming up and programs associated with, you know, this Drama Doc exhibit and other programs. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, so much coming up. We have our gala a little bit after Drama Doc's. Ours is May 30th, so watch out for publicity coming about that. It'll be 70s themed, and we're kind of reinventing the shape of the gala, so it'll be very different. We hope this year, kind of fresh, I mean, and great committee working on that. But, you know, get out your K2 ski year and all your Vashon 70s stuff and get ready. And then upcoming this weekend, we have a Washington Humanities talk coming up about the history of some Olympic athletes. The speaker, and if you can't make it this Saturday, the speaker will also be doing the talk at the library on the 8th. So a couple opportunities to see that since there's a lot of Olympic interest at the moment. So visit our website, see lots coming up.
And what's the website?
The website is vashonheritage.org.
And Gay, what's the website for Drama Doc?
dramadoc.org.
All very creative titles.
Hey,
we're just about out of time. Kevin, tell us a little bit about what's coming up next week.
We had a pre-recorded session, Amy referred to it, with our state representative, Brianna Thomas, who is amazing. And we just reelected her. She was appointed when Alvarado, Emily Alvarado, moved to the Senate. And so she's representing us now for her second year. We talked about a bunch of bills that she's introduced and her perspective about life as a representative, the key things that she wants to move forward in terms of supporting our communities, and a few other tidbits. So you want to join in, listen to that session next week. So look forward to having you participate in that.
All right. So thanks, everybody, for Truman, Kevin, Craig, Amy, Gay, and Greta. I'm Bruce. We thank you for listening, and we will see you again next week on the Brown Briefly.